Good to see everybody out this evening. Once again, blessed and encouraged by the presence of all as we have this opportunity to gather together this evening. I know that Ron and Jason are trying to figure out to get these lessons recorded, and once we get that figured out, we'll find a way out. Kevin is planning on trying to get those on our website and get that going. Good start to the work here as good work to start for me. Y'all been here for a while. But it's all wonderful to come out and study God's Word as we have this opportunity. Lesson this evening going to go forth and to the point of as I continue on to present Word of God as we gather together each day, each first day of the week, and as we gather together and study the Word of God, or anytime I'm able to get a Bible study. The question comes out of where we preach from. Where are we going to start? What are you going to use as we study and as we go forward to continue to present out lessons? And so I wanted to bring that out. It's somewhat of a first principle lesson, but a good point to bring out, good reminder, and good points to simply keep in our minds all times when we're considering teaching one another as we come out to study the Word of God. So, where we preach from? Where are we going to go to preach? The first point to bring out is simply the question of who has the authority. Who has the authority to say what it is we're going to preach? Who has the authority to say what we can and cannot do? So many will come up with that point when you're trying to say if they're in the wrong, or if you're trying to point out that where we should be going with certain things, and they'll ask you, what right do you have to say that, or who died and put you in charge? And so those points come out as who has authority. And first point to bring out is God has that authority. God has the authority. He has always had it because in the beginning He's the one that created everything. In Genesis chapter 1, the whole chapter goes throughout God creating the heavens and the earth, God creating the firmament and the water, separating the two, God going forth and putting plants and herbs and all the trees and so forth up on this earth, God going forth and putting all the sea creatures and water creatures, the fish in the water and the birds of the air, to creating all the animals of the land. And then, of course, creating you and I, creating mankind. And Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God has the authority because He is our Creator. God started all things. You know, just as we can open the Bible and it talks about the example of the potter and the clay. Now the potter has authority over the clay. The clay does not have any right. It is not able to. It cannot go forth and say, you know, potter, I think I want to be made this way. I think you ought to do a little more here and shape me a little more. You know, it cannot talk back. The potter has all authority to decide how and what he's going to create and what it's going to be made for and how he's going to use it or whether or not he's going to throw it out. He has that power. He has that authority over God, being our Creator, has that authority over us. Also in John 1 and in verse 1, it speaks there about Jesus being there in the beginning. Jesus was part of our creation. It says in John 1 and verse 1, it says, the Word, it talks about the Word, and the Word is Christ. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. And we know that that is Christ because in verse 14 of John 1, it says, and the Word became flesh. Speaking about Christ. Jesus was there in the beginning when all things were created. When you hear it there in Genesis 1, when it says, let us make them in the image. You know, they created mankind. They created us in their image. There wasn't just God the Father there. God, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were there. And we see they have that authority. God has that authority.
You open your Bibles and turn along with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews 1, and you read there in verse 1, it says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. Here, once again, bringing out all that we study in the Old Testament, we see the various ways that God has spoken, how He has presented His Word, how He has shown His authority over mankind. He's done it in many different ways. God had spoken through the burning bush to Moses. Spoke to Moses upon the mountain. And He used dreams. He would use visions. He would send His angels down to speak to mankind, to present what needed to be done. God spoke. God is the one with the authority. God is the one that continued to push it. But if you read the next verse, you read verse 2, Hebrews 1 and verse 2, it says, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. Here it brings out that God spoke, but now speaks through His Son. Jesus now has been given all authority in heaven and on earth, as He says there in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Jesus claims, and He brings it out, and says, all authority has been given to me on heaven and on earth. The thing I want to point out about that is, of course, one, that Jesus has the authority. All authority, all power, as the King James translation would put it, all power has been given over to our Lord and Savior until that day that we are all all His enemies are put under His feet, and then He shall give that power back over to the Father. Thing is the power of the authority was given to Christ. It is something that has to be given, and that's the thing we need to remember as we go forward to teach one another. And if we're going to teach religion, and we're going to teach what it is we must do and what we cannot do, we need to ask, has any authority been given unto us? What power do we have in what we teach? And what we command to be done. Notice when Jesus was on trial, when He was put up front and Pontius Pilate, he was, do you not recognize my authority? Do you not recognize who I am? How I could set you free? Jesus made it plain and clear that power could not be there, that authority could not be there unless God had granted it to him, allowed it to be, understanding that power is given. It's something that is given over. Authority is something that has to be given. So we come to the next point of where we preach from. Where do we go? We're going to the Lord and Savior for our answers. But as we would know, we understand that we don't speak directly. Jesus does not speak directly to us today. That He lived a life upon this earth. He died and was resurrected, and then He ascended up into heaven. Therefore, how do we get that authority from Christ? How do we get the Word of God, what needs to be done, from our Lord and Savior? So the next point would be Word and the authority. The authority we receive, or that has been given to me. If you're still there in Hebrews, if you will jump over to chapter 2. And in Hebrews chapter 2, Hebrews 2, and starting there in verse 1. Hebrews 2, starting in verse 1. It says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedient received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him? Here brings out the point that it says it was first brought out to us by Jesus Christ, by our Lord and Savior. But then it was confirmed to us by those who heard Him. And in verse 4 it says, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own will. And that was the proof. When they went forth and taught the Word of God, when they would teach that baptism was essential for salvation. When they would teach that the Gentiles were now brought into this new covenant. When they would teach that circumcision of the flesh was no longer necessary. They had to have proof. But where's your proof? What proves that your word is better than what we already have? That what you're saying is the word of God. He says God bearing witness with the signs and wonders that he had. That's why they had to have the gifts of the Holy Spirit at that time. Because they didn't have the full word of God to open up to read as he has presented unto us today as we had it now. In 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Turn along with me there. 2 Peter 1. Read with me there, starting in verse 19. 2 Peter 1 and verse 19. It says, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in the dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of men, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. They spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So when they wrote the Word of God, when they wrote the Scriptures, when Paul would write to the church of Corinth, and he would write to the church at Ephesus, and when he would write the letter to Timothy, he was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And it was written there so that we could all understand, so that we can all have faith. As Romans 10 verse 17 tells us, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God. We must go to the Word of God. When we preach, where do we preach from? We preach from His Word. We preach what Christ has given to us, what He had given to His disciples, what He had given to the apostles at that time. And that they have given to us. That is what we preach. We open up the Word of God as they bring out. They were inspired by the Holy Spirit when it was given to us. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 and 17. There it tells us that all Scripture has been given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. Here it brings out the Word of God, the Scriptures, the Bible that we have in front of us. And the ESV brings out all Scripture is breathed out by God. These are God's words. Not the words of just some man during that time frame, wrote down what he thought was best to his knowledge. But these men were inspired by God. These are God's words. This is His very breath. It is what He's bringing out here. It is what He wants. And He's given everything we need. There's no need for anything else. As it brings out there, it says, and this, it is profitable for teaching or doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. King James translation says, may be perfect. It says that we may be perfect. Understanding, of course, that none of us are perfect. But when one is buried into the water, they are buried into the blood of Christ, and they are raised up. At that time and moment, all sins have been washed away. You're perfect at that time and moment. You have been cleansed. You have been made a joint heir in Christ. Become a child of God. It has everything we need in the Word of God. Everything we do is to do in the name of the Lord and Savior. Colossians 3 and verse 17. Whatever you do, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through you. Do it all. When again, and going to the Hebrews, what we read in Hebrews 2, that, you know, that those who heard him is the ones that had confirmed it to us. That is one of the last commands that our Lord and Savior had given upon this earth. Matthew 28. Matthew chapter 28. Turn along with me there. And reading that last verse, reading verse 20. It says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. Here he says, teaching them. He says, when you go out and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. So when we go and we look what Peter is teaching, we go and we look what the other apostles were teaching, we see that they are simply teaching what Jesus had taught. That was the command, and that's what they go forth and do. They teach what has already been commanded unto them. Final point for this evening is simply, where do we preach from? We preach from the Word of God, and we do not go beyond. We do not go beyond the Word of God. And we quoted Romans 10, verse 17 earlier. Faith comes by hearing. Sometimes people like to just stop right there and say, as long as we hear something, we can believe what that person said. You know, we can listen to many different things. You can listen to the radio. You can listen to the TV. You can listen to me. But if I'm not, and if the radio's not, and the TV's not teaching the Word of God, then your faith is going to be off. Your faith is not going to be lined up with what the chief cornerstone has given to us, what Jesus Christ has taught. We need to confirm the teaching that is going on through the Word of God and make sure that nothing has been added to it. It was this way even under the Old Testament in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and in verse 2, if you want to turn there. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And in verse 2, here it says, you shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Once again, Moses heard the words from God. God spoke to him on the mountain. God told him what he needed to do. And he would bring it back. Same thing as the prophets and the apostles who wrote the New Testament for us, this new covenant for us. They were inspired by the Holy Spirit and wrote it for us so that we can keep the commandments God has commanded us. The commandments that the Lord has commanded us. Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. Revelation 22, reading verses 18 and 19. It says, for I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from all things which are written in this book. Here, bringing out that we are, once again, not to go beyond the Word of God, not to add to nor take away from his Word. You look at what Paul had wrote to the church of Galatia in Galatians chapter 1. And as soon as he starts this letter off to the church of Galatia, he makes mention that he is just surprised on how soon they were ready to leave what he had taught. Galatians 1, reading there in verse 6, it says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you away in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to prevent the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And we have said before, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Paul even goes forth to say, even if I change my mind, even if I change the words, even if an angel comes to you, we're not supposed to go beyond what God has given us. To keep the commandments of God. I like to use 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6 in making this point. So many go into the point of don't add and do not take away. Here it brings out the point, don't think beyond what is written. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 6 says, "Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sake, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other." Here he says, don't think beyond what is written. Don't think beyond what God has already blessed us with. When we come to those questions, we often get to that point where we're looking for something and we can easily get caught up. Man, if God would just been more specific about this detail, it would have solved so many more problems. You know, just have it straight out. Thou shalt not, and thou shalt. On all the things that we need and need not to do. So many use the silver lining of looking at what is not in the Word of God to give us permission to go and do whatever we want because it does not say anything about it. Deuteronomy 29:29, I believe, goes along with it. It says, "These secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of His law." Here it brings up, it says, the secret things belong to God. There are certain things that are not necessary for us to know to get to heaven. But what He has revealed, what He has given to us, is there so that we can do His will, so that we can be children of God. John wrote a similar thing at the end of his book, bringing out, you know, Jesus had did many more wonders and signs in his time, but what I have given to you, I've written so that you can believe, written so that you can obey, so that we can understand who our Savior is and what it is we need to do. What has been revealed so that we can get to so that we can be children of God. Let us not go beyond His Word. So as we continue on to fight the good fight, as we continue on the path of our Lord and Savior, walking in His footsteps, and we question, where do we go? What do we need to go to when we preach? We need to go to His Word. We need to go to the Bible to teach the truth, and the truth alone. And that will guide us in the right direction. Once again, I'm not saying that we can't ever use some help from brethren. And I'm not saying we can't use the help of some wise men who have put some commentaries together. But in all those commentaries and all the questions that men put together confirm that they are teaching the truth through the one and only Bible. Don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this evening. If you're here and you need to obey the gospel, you need to be baptized in Christ, we extend that opportunity. We also extend the opportunity for any who need a prayer to the congregation or to let it be known that you desire to repent of your sins and you're working on putting the sins behind you. Whatever we can do for you, we let it be known. Thanks.
Think of my life. Yeah.
suffered